This is Identity at the Center.
If it has anything to do with IAM, this is the go-to podcast. Now your hosts, Jim McDonald and Jeff Stedman.
Welcome to the Identity at the Center podcast. I'm Jeff, and I'm by myself this week. Well, not really. I'm at the Identity Week America conference having conversations with different folks that we've had in the past on the show, new friends, family, compatriots, whatever you want to talk about it. So I'm going to be joined here in a minute by Mr. Jeff Rich. He's the executive director of the Identity Defined Security Alliance. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Jeff, it's like a mirror. It's a Jeff and Jeff show.
It's going to get a little bit confusing because, like, which Jeff was said what? First of all, I'm going to compliment you. I love the suspenders. Looking sharp.
Thank you, sir.
So we're here at Identity Week America having conversations and just kind of picking the brains of people from an identity standpoint, at least, around things that have been going on. Before I get to that, I just want to give a shout out to Molly. She's been super helpful in getting this show and, you know, organized and helping us, you know, get this together. So big shout out to Molly and thank you for that. I guess it's been a few months since the last time you were on the show, Jeff. It was April. It would have been episode number 206. I'm not sure what number episode this will be, but it's been a few months. What's been going on with the Identity Defined Security Alliance, or IDSA, since we last chatted?
So a lot's happened in the past 6 months or so. We have changed our look and feel. If you go to our website, there's a whole new reskin on it, and we're excited about that, actually. We think it looks great.
It does. I noticed it right away. I was pulling it up today for kind of preparing for this conversation. It's like, oh, there's a new website.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's we think it looks good. Thinks it looks great, actually. And we have added a new category of membership called Partner, which deals with our consultant agencies or advisors. You know, they aren't necessarily selling security or identity products, but they may advise on it. They can do some consulting. So that's there. We are focusing now on getting more enterprise or companies that aren't identity vendors or partners.
Consumers of identity stuff.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to see a focus on that, probably hearing a bit more about it over the next couple of weeks, actually, with a goal of bringing more of them in because we know they can benefit from it. They tell us they can benefit from it. So we are tweaking how that membership works just a bit. We're almost done with that so that we can appeal to more and really bring value to them. Because the more of the enterprises and consumers, as you say, of the identity products we have, the better voice we have with the identity vendors and with governments so that we can start getting a consistent view of what identity means, how it should work, and what sort of things we should start avoiding maybe.
So for people who aren't familiar with IDSA, what's the 30-second, I'm riding to the top of the Marriott Marquis elevator ride to get a Coke or something from the M Club Lounge? What do you do?
First of all, if you want a Coke, I can get it for you downstairs. But more importantly, we are a nonprofit that focuses on education and free education, free resources for raising the awareness of identity security and to secure identities, which we look at as two separate functions, although they're related. That's really, in a nutshell, what we do. We have members that support our mission and through membership dues or fees. We take no money from vendors specifically because of that. They may be a member. And our goal is to spread the word and get it as far as possible. And over the next few minutes, I think we can talk about how we're going to maybe do that even more.
Yeah. So we're in October and It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I know that you guys have done stuff in the past with that, but what's IDSA got going on this month?
So we have a few things to get information out to the world, especially our members. We have a couple webinars scheduled this month, one from that Sentinel One's going to be providing. And another one that we are hosting that is going to take a look at the digital identity research survey that we've done, that we published this a little bit earlier this year, and compare that to a similar one that CyberArk did this year. And not endorsing either one, but taking a look at, we're asking similar questions, different audiences, different cohorts. Where do things line up? What's consistent? Where are there gaps? As one example, this is something that I found amazing with the survey we did, because I have yet to reconcile it. an overwhelming majority of organizations said that they were doing a good job managing identity and breaches, and over 70% of them said they had a breach in the past year.
Yeah, they're pros at it. They've had so many.
Exactly. Yeah, they're good at responding to breaches. But that's something we're working on. What can we do to resolve that? Because there is a gap there, and we want to help everyone close that gap.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I feel like, you know, just every news cycle, there's just who got breached this week, what happened. You know, there's Vegas has had some issues recently, for example. And it's tough because they think, how do you reconcile stuff? It's like, oh, yeah, we're doing a good job. And I think sometimes that shows up in budgets or initiatives and things like that, that I know the clients that I talk with, for example, in my day job, right, is, well, you know, we're already spending X number of dollars on identity. Why do we need to spend more? What is, you know, how do we reconcile doing good? We think we're doing good versus, well, people are still in the news for the wrong reasons.
Well, you know, and first of all, I don't have the magic answer to that. If I did, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out selling the
right,
magic answer, right? but more importantly, I think when I get that question, my answer is always, and it's not very different from answers around security that I've been giving for the past 50 years, and that if your response to a problem is throw money at it and that should fix it, your successor will come up with a better answer. And I say that not to be funny, but it's true.
It's true.
And I've been in it. That's been me at times, right? Anyone that's been a CISO or equivalent in the past 30 years has been the recipient of pain that resulted from a breach or a security problem, whether they caused it or not, mm-hmm. or whether they let it happen or not. So simply throwing money at the problem won't do it. Simply buying software won't do it. In fact, I will offer, and there are great software vendors here at this show, great products. But if you buy the most expensive product because you have the budget for it and you say hooray and you install it, that does nothing. It's like buying a steel door for the front of your house and leaving it unlocked.
Well, I think that's sometimes something that does happen, right, is people say they'll look at, you know, not to pick on Gartner, but we've had this conversation mm-hmm. with folks from there as well. It's like, oh, well, I only buy upper right Gartner Magic Quadrant. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. What else are you doing, though? Because it's a combination of people, process, and technology is how we address a lot of these issues. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to talk with a lot of identity people. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking with organizations, one of the first things that typically stands out to me when they're struggling with something is just the sheer amount of what I call IAM heroics.
Yep.
They're taking place behind the scenes that people probably don't know about, and the organization itself probably doesn't know about. And that's the only way that they're getting by. And it's not scalable. It's very difficult position to be in. It's very precarious. I'm curious, in the conversations that you've had with maybe, you know, some of the membership and other folks that you've talked to in your role, do you see the same thing with IAM heroics kind of really being how things actually get done in the real world?
Yep. They better hope, I don't use that word very often, that their problem doesn't occur when that individual's on vacation, because the heroics can't happen that week. And it's sad, but that is how it's working. And the main cause of that, I believe, is identity and access sprawl. You can ask anyone, how many identities do you think you have? And most people say, oh, 5, 10. And I don't care who you are, that's nowhere near close. I have now, I'm a bit extreme. I have 897. All right. Now, I'd like to think most people don't have that many, but most people are deep into double digits.
I think you and I are both on the extreme side, but just for, I guess, commiserating in public with you, I just opened up my password vault and I have 1,200 accounts.
Okay.
That's one person. And that, obviously, I'm a consumer and I'm probably not the normal person. In fact, I will guarantee I'm not a normal person.
Jeff, trust
in
me.
In a number of
trust
ways.
Trust me, Jeff.
But yeah. But it is a problem, that sprawl you talk about. And even within an organization, I think this concept, right, of, oh, we'll do single sign-on sounds great. And a lot of people have taken advantage of those types of technologies, but they haven't fully taken advantage of it because they get caught in two worlds. They get caught in, well, this is a legacy application and it doesn't play well with our current modern single sign-on. Or there's some shadow IT taking place. And there's a whole bunch of accounts out there that IT may or may not know about and may or may not have done something about. You got sprawl all over the place.
Yep. And it's sprawl that's just simply not managed. Now, I had at one point, I had 1,700, but I've had over like a 4 month period of purposeful effort to say, I'm dumping this one. I'm going to deactivate it. You can't just delete it from your password manager.
Right.
You have to go deactivate it, which actually that's even worse.
Yeah.
Let me abandon it, right? But yeah, I had to get it down to, my goal was to get it under 1,000 for whatever that's worth. There's no magic to that number. Most people shouldn't have that many. You and I are outliers.
Definitely.
But most people have more than they need. Most people have closer to 50 than to 5. So I would offer that's the number one gaping hole that organizations have in managing identity and access, because all it takes is one of those to crack and it's a way in.
Yeah. Especially if you were using passwords, then that's pretty much the way it goes in. I mean, I guess the benefit of having so many accounts is theoretically you're using a different password for each one, but everyone's human and some people follow that advice and some people don't.
And even when you do, saying, I have a password manager, but I'm not going to, I can't bring it up now, so I'll just reuse this password and I'll generate one later, and you never do.
Yeah, it ends up somewhere in a table and blah, 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 blah. What else has IDSA been working on?
So we talked about, you know, our look and feel, our membership is different. Those are two really big things for us. We have some activities going on with Cybersecurity Awareness Month, always in support of the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Obviously, we work with them as well as with our, they work with us in Identity Management Day, which is the second Tuesday of, I'd be remiss not to say, second Tuesday of every year, of April of every year, April 9th of 2024. We're looking forward to having everyone have that come to a screen near them. It is an online event. We had over 1,100 attendees last April, and we're looking for even more. Going to have great speaker lineup. We still have some openings for speakers. That call will go out soon. And still some openings for sponsors. So anyone who wants to be involved in that, just let us know.
Identity Center, fun fact, the Identity Management Day is the only link on our own website, idacpodcast.com, that we have put so far, at least from getting awareness out with other organizations for that. So we have a whole page.
Thank you. Just dedicated. We just did a fist bump on that. Yep. Thank you.
So if you go on our menu at the top, there is, it might be a little bit buried right now because there's a few things up there, but it's the only external page that we've got that links back to Identity Management Day.
Thank you. We think there's a lot of value in that, and we've heard that from the attendees as well. So I think that's a lot of what we have going on. Now, something else we have going on that we're very excited about is we are announcing this week a memorandum of understanding that will be in place between us, the IDSA, and the SIA, the Secure Identity Alliance, which is based in Brussels, Belgium, and their footprint, they focus really more on standards and government work as opposed to mainly commerce and enterprise, which we do. So there's a good complement there, both with an I and an E for each organization. And by having this memorandum of understanding where we're going to have collaborative efforts, we're going to have some common working groups and a few other projects that we work on together, that gives each of our organizations and both of our organizations more of a worldwide footprint. Now, our goal here isn't world domination, although maybe someday.
But leave that to us on the podcast.
Fair enough, yes. But more importantly, we want to be able to say, what does identity mean to any individual around the world? And it should mean the same. Now, we're not saying put everything in this one app and it either works or it doesn't, because that, first of all, it doesn't. So we'll get that question out of the way. But to have some consistency, maybe even accepted standards, so there can be an exchange, so that my identity here, when I want to use it in France, there is a straightforward way to make that happen rather than a bureaucratic way that requires a piece of paper.
It sounds very complementary missions if they're focused more in the government sector versus the sectors that IDSA focuses on today. It seems like that's sort of a good Tetris fit.
It is. And they also do, you know, we do some work on looking at standards. They do a little more work on, although we've had some input to standards as well. They're a little more focused on that. So once again, another complementary factor. So we think that this is a really good opportunity to have two good organizations working in the same space, but doing different things, join forces.
That's good. I think we've got listeners all over the world. So if anybody from Secure Identity Alliance is listening, wants to come on the show, reach out to me, or maybe you can make an introduction. We can kind of talk about that, but I'd love to get the awareness out about around that.
I'll be happy to do that. In fact, I'll offer that at Trustech in Paris at the end of November. I think it's the 28th and 29th. I will be there, and SIA will be there as well. In fact, I think they're one of the organizers of the conference. And at the end of that, we'll have an invitation-only identity interoperability summit. I actually got that out. I've worked on that phrase to really see what we can do to help drive this home. So yeah, anyone that wants to come on your podcast that either knows me or meets me there, I'll be happy to do the hookup here.
Yeah, that'd be great. We love having an international flavor because, you know, it's tough. Not tough, but it's familiar when mm-hmm. we're talking U.S.-centric because, well, I live in the U.S. and Jim lives in the U.S. A lot of stuff that we work on is, you know, North America-based, for example. But it is interesting to see how other countries around the world and other organizations are operating. So we're here at Identity Week America. What do you get out of a conference like this? And I think there's two hats you're probably wearing. One is as the executive director, as representing IDSA, but also from an individual level. Like, what do you get out of being here at something like this?
Yeah, thanks. And I am both the leader of IDSA and a practitioner. So yeah, I look at both things. You know, first of all, when I look forward, what's new that's out there? And there are some good products. There are some nice products that have worked well that are better now. That's good to hear. There are some products out there that I will allow someone to try to convince me what they're going to do and how that's better. But that's like every conference. You're going to get that. Here's some good speakers, which you may be hearing in the background. Some yep. of them actually many of them actually are very good. I'm going to be on a panel on Wednesday.
With me?
Yes. I had to stop and think, like, who's monitoring that? Oh, yeah, you are. And I'm looking forward to that. So as a practitioner, I'm looking for what else is out there? What's going to be better? What are we going to be talking about next year? Because I have my thoughts about that, but there are others who are smarter than me that have probably a better idea of what problem we'll be talking about next year. We're not going to be talking about MGM next year. We're going to be talking about something bigger.
Yeah, whatever happens. Yeah. Then, or closer than, I should say.
Yeah.
What I haven't heard too much of, and shout out to my friend Teresa, who was on the show recently. We did an episode on quantum computing and post-quantum computing. I don't see any of that here. And she was like one of the first people I saw when I walked in, and then we started talking about it, you know, the episode. And there's nothing about quantum here yet, but I imagine it's got to be coming at some point.
It will be, because the price point has to get there. Now, you may not know this, but my background's in physics. Mm. So if you want to talk about quantum and post-quantum, we can have another whole session about that. I'd love to. That's clearly going to happen. And for everyone that says, oh, it's too out there, and, you know, no one understands what an entangled pair is and everything else, that's okay, because 15 years ago, when you said cloud computing, most people said, oh, really? You're going to have something that doesn't really exist and it's going to compute for you?
Right.
Yeah, well, everyone gets that now.
Yeah.
And quantum's going to follow the same path. Just like client-server did. I remember having a discussion with someone I worked with. And we were a full mainframe shop. This is back in the early 80s. And talking about client-server, which eventually became more localized PCs. And he said, no, that none of those, that equipment will never show up in any shop I manage. And I said, I'm picturing you with the reverse imprint of a train on your forehead because you are standing on the track saying no, 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 and you are not going to stop the train. Same thing happened with cloud computing. The same thing is going to be happening with quantum. What's going to really be good for us, though, is that identity is going to be tied into quantum. You can't do it without a confirmed validated identity, just like zero trust, which is something you are here. People are talking about, and you say, "Or what's with zero trust? Whether you get it or not, what's pillar one identity? If you skip that, the other six don't matter." So, identity for zero trust for quantum is going to be foundational of what we do going forward, and I think that's good for us and good for the world.
Well, that's why we call the show Identity at the Center, right? Mm-hmm. It's not by accident that we did that. I think one of the things that I've noticed in just the brief hour or so that I've kind of been here on site is a lot of biometrics devices mm-hmm. out on the show floor. What are your thoughts on that?
Good, bad?
Yeah.
So the good thing about biometrics is it gives you a more frictionless way, because that's the word that most of them use, for your users to be able to authenticate themselves for more secure applications and environments. It's not foolproof. You get false positives, you get false negatives. You have to be able to fine-tune that. And even when the product works right, the operator needs to fine-tune it continuously as well, because it can be easily enough compromised. So I have no statistics. I've done no research on this. However, if you look at generative AI, yet another term that we have yet to bring up in this conversation. So if you're looking for buzzword bingo, right, we're filling a card. But with generative AI and deepfake, it is really, really tough to say that's not me. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do when that happens? So biometrics are great, but they are not a panacea. And boy, they're better than passwords. Hands down. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's get away from passwords. We've been saying that for 50 years. I've been saying it. I actually think...
And they're cheering in the background for
yes,
you, too.
Yes, yeah. The world cheers when we say get rid of passwords. I actually think it's now popped over the horizon and we can see it.
Yeah. Definitely, I've seen passwordless really take off in the last year or so. Passkeys was a big thing, I think, for a lot of organizations. You know, no small effort by, you know, the FIDO crew and getting Apple, Google, and Microsoft to sit down and come to agreements, right, on how this would work. Because obviously, them being the major platform vendors have a lot of say in how that would work. And that interoperability is certainly good.
So if I may, you just pointed out, and you're going to be going to a conference very soon talking about that. You just pointed out one of the large benefits of nonprofit alliances like the FIDO Alliance or IDSA or SIA. When you get the right members involved, which is why we're working on expanding our membership to different types as well as different companies, you become the voice for that function to government, to the big application providers, to Microsoft and Google and Amazon. And when you say, here's a voice of all of these members that all want the same thing, they're more likely to listen than even if one large company said, we want this. Mm-hmm. So, and I think FIDO Alliance deserves a lot of credit for that in this vein. And we're looking to be able to do the same thing in support of it, not in competition with them.
Yeah. It seems like there is a lot of government attendance here. And obviously we're in Washington, D.C., so I guess that's not to be too shocked around that. What's been your experience with government in general, getting involved with identity security?
So governments know that identities are vitally important. They deal with it, you know, if you're a government employee, you have a CAC. And that's at the core of your identity.
When you say CAC, Common Access Card.
Thank you. Sorry, I should not have used
it. Right, yeah.
I should have not used the acronym. But if you're a government employee or a contractor, you have one, or you can't do anything, which is good. The foundation of without identity, you can't get anywhere else is a good thing. But it's more than that now, only because of how the applications work, where they're distributed. Do they want single sign-on, you know, ID.me? Is that going to work? Everything combined has now raised the profile to the federal government, the U.S. federal government, who I'll offer might be a few steps behind most other Western governments on how do we digitize that. It's great that NIST came out with 800-63 and associated standards around it. I think there's only two agencies that are committed or required to follow it right now. So it's a start. We're going to get there. I think the fact that the federal government has visibility, to the employees that are here have visibility to all of this and can go back and say, hey, you know, there's stuff to make this work is a really good thing. So I'm looking forward to that. It's, I think for what it's worth, not that I was hoping for a government shutdown, but there were a few government employees I talked to that said, hey, I'm very likely to be able to go to the conference, but aren't now because they're working.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad the government didn't shut down. I'm going on record saying that. But it raised the interest is there. We're no longer the shouting in the wilderness at the government anymore. The government now has to focus on now not what to buy, but how to do it. And that's their next challenge. And I think there's a lot of companies here that are going to help them do that. You know, you're in one of them. Mm-hmm. And we need to help them get there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how. It's always interesting when I attend a conference like this and I see what's coming next. And sometimes what you see at a conference like this is the next year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the next 2 to 3 years. I feel like government tends to move a little bit slower than that. So maybe it'll be 5 years or so before it gets more prevalent. But do you share the sort of my thought process that like we're seeing things here that will be in the zeitgeist, at least for U.S. federal government over the next 1 to 5 years? Or do you think it's further or more immediate?
Well, I think there's some of each. There's biometrics. You if you trip in one of the aisles, you'll fall into a biometric.
But don't worry, they'll know who you are.
Exactly.
And they'll be able to get the
facial recognition. Will tell you, here you are. I know your medical history, and here's what we can do. Right. So biometrics, although biometrics has been part of like getting into a SCIF, a secure compartmentalized information facility. The acronym here. But most other federal agencies and access didn't require necessarily biometrics. I think you're going to see more of that now. And I think that's current. I think that's things that they're going to be able to start acquiring and using. So let's go forward from that. We can talk about both encryption and identity, and both of them fit into the quantum and what many people call the post-quantum world. I've yet to define what post-quantum means since we're not actually even there yet. Mm-hmm. But both of those will come together. And I think in 2 to 5 years, you're going to start seeing that will become more commonplace, just like biometrics are now. Biometrics will then become more accepted. Some will fall off the table. Others will certainly have legs, and they may already. And I believe what you're going to see with quantum encryption and identity all being tied together, I predict 5 years from now, come back and find me then. And I think in 5 years, that will start becoming available and actually almost commonplace. And I know that's difficult for many people to believe because most people don't even know what quantum means. And let's not get into it here. But I do believe that's what you're going to see on the next horizon.
All right. Well, let's start to wrap things up. We were talking about how we want to end on a lighter note. And I'm going to give you credit for coming up with the question. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the right way to ask it is, but what is the best, worst thing happening in identity? Hopefully that makes sense.
Yes. Or it could be the worst, best thing.
The worst, best thing.
It either one works. And I think the worst, best thing, and I think the definition really holds, is we've had more significant breaches now. Now, for those of us in the industry, we're actually jaded by it. Like, yeah, big deal, another big breach, mm-hmm. right? Who's next?
Yeah.
And actually, we need to stop doing that, all right? Because that's part of the problem. But for the consumer, who, by the way, who are the ones affected by this? Identity, it either goes to a silicon chip, or it's an artificial identity, or it's a carbon-based unit. The carbon-based units are beginning to pay attention. I have received, really, since the last large casino hack, mm-hmm. right, which was recent, or whenever you're listening to this, go see what the most recent hack was, and whatever it was.
Fair point, yeah.
That was it. People are now asking me, hey, isn't that what you work on? Well, yeah, it is. What can I do to help protect my identity? And I get giddy over that. I giggle because they're asking the question I want everyone to ask every single provider they work with. Not only say, what can I do to help protect it, but why aren't you doing this to help me protect it? Those questions are going to, from the bottom up, drive this industry where it needs to be. And I think that's a really good thing. Sad how we got there, but that needs to be the result of it.
Yeah. Drives awareness for sure. That definitely.
And pain.
Pain is a great motivator. Nobody wants to go through that.
No, yeah. Not where I want to go first, but here we are.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think I've seen a lot, it used to be, well, what do you do? It's okay, well, I've been identity for 20 years. How do I describe this, right? It's like, okay, well, that. But yeah, you're right with people getting more, awareness around what's happening in that space. Breaches typically are it. I mean, I was just hosted family at my place a few weeks ago and kind of talked about, what can I be doing to keep my accounts? That's not a question I would have expected my 50s, 60s, and 70-year-old family members, right, to be asking, but they were asking it. And so it definitely has gotten more top of mind for folks out there, which I think is great. Yeah. It is the best, worst thing or worst, best thing, however you want to
portray it. Exactly. Jeff, what you do now is sexy. See?
Well, I always knew it was. In fact, I think episode number 2, I think, of this show was like getting into the sexy world of IAM. A little bit of a joke, but hey, I'll take it.
Here we are. It only took a couple years, but we're there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're ahead of the game.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. Any final thoughts or takeaways being part of this discussion?
Yeah, I would just offer, think about what you're doing. You know, participate in Cybersecurity Awareness Month. More importantly, don't only do it in October. Do that, you know, don't stop your activities on November 1st. Keep it year round. I really want to encourage that. Secure the World is a new theme, and it's a new evergreen theme. And that's why, because it's not really supposed to stop. In addition to that, I would say, ask your family members, do you care about your identities? And see who's asking, see who's responding, and get the word out. You don't have to be an expert to make people aware. And that would be the focus.
Good tips. We'll have a bunch of links in our show notes for people to follow, but you can find more about the Identity Defined Security Alliance at idsalliance.org. So go there for more information. You can find us on the web. We're at idacpodcast.com. We're on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it this week at idacpodcast. We're on Mastodon at idacpodcast at infosec.exchange. Every time I say that, it just cringes me saying that. It's like, I like the idea of it, but it's got to get more user-friendly, the whole Mastodon thing.
When people ask me about that, by the way, I say it's if you consider merging Twitter and Discord.
Yes, absolutely. And
LinkedIn, the whole...
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that they're doing there. But we also started a LinkedIn page as well. So we finally on LinkedIn, an actual Identity Center page. So I've been tagging that in my accounts. We've got a new YouTube. Not new YouTube, but starting to put our episodes up on YouTube as well. So we can check that as well. So do all the social media things, like, subscribe, right? That's how you can help us out here and helps us be at these conferences.
And meet in person when you can. This has been great.
Yeah, this has been great. So always enjoy connecting with you, Jeff, and looking forward to the next time. We're going to go ahead and leave it there for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Jeff, thanks for being here. Give you a fist bump of gratitude here in a minute. And we'll talk with everyone in the next one.
You've been listening to Identity at the Center. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit the website at identityatthecenter.com and find us on Twitter at IDAC Podcast. See you next time on Identity at the Center.